On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hey, 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 John Potter, Jay Biggs, Saturday morning, legislative session, Nevada legislature, coming up after Jay checks our traffic on this snowy day.
Absolutely. So right now, 80 westbound at Mogul, we are seeing a motorist assist that's blocking lanes. Johnson Lane area, 395 north. North of there, we are seeing a motorist assist. Incline Village, stay around 28 around Tahoe there, mile marker 4 Washoe. There's another motorist assist. Wadsworth, 80 eastbound, mile marker 33 injury accident. And Churchill County, another one, 80 westbound at mile marker 71. Upper elevations, every route, pretty much a chain or snow tie requirements. I did mention earlier that you are able to travel into Northern California without the chain and snows this morning, all the way to Truckee on the 80. But after that, they are going to hold you again with the chain and snow tie requirements all the way over to Colfax. So, all right. Messy situation.
This is our Nevada legislature update and conversation segment with one of the lawmakers. Our what did they do and what are they going to do in the legislature 15-minute segment. That's now every Saturday at 10 a.m. And this Saturday, local assemblyman Ken Gray, who serves District 39, which is Douglas County and part of Lyon County. Hi, Ken.
Hey, good morning.
I'm so glad you joined us. We always ask our assemblymen and our Nevada senators to give us a progress report on the first weeks and what our listeners should know about what's coming up. And so I'll start with you. Do you have some things that really stand out with an update on what's going on in Carson City?
I do, but first I'd like to mention that our prayers and hearts go out to the families affected by the plane crash last night in Stagecoach, which is in my district, and it's heartbreaking, especially having been a flight medic myself for so many years. It was really hard to wake up to that news this morning.
Oh, so, yeah. Anyway. I didn't know you were in. Yeah, I didn't know you used to be in that that career.
I did.
That,
it was
a real.
It was a shocker.
Real tragedy. Stagecoach. Okay. Hey, yeah, let me just update for the folks who. And I hate breaking the news like I did at 9 o'clock with this, but five people aboard CareFlight crashing last night. About 9:15, the plane was found. 11:15 last night, according to the Central Lyon County Fire Department, there were no survivors. All five were killed. The pilot, flight nurse, paramedic, patient, and the patient's family member. And it was a small plane, small one, 2002 Guardian Flight Pilatus PC-12, single-engine propeller plane. Registered to a flight company that Remso works with in Utah. Ken, are you familiar with this plane?
No. I was actually, my time as a flight medic was in the service on a C-130 and also did a little bit with the Army on the Blackhawks.
Okay. Weather reports say there were light winds there at the time of the crash, but this was at night and it was a single engine. And the National Transportation Safety Board is now investigating. CareFlight stopped all their flights for now. And Stagecoach, where the plane went down, your district there, 40 miles southeast of Reno on Highway 50. Heartbreaking, and it must have hit you hard this morning to hear that. And do you have any idea of possibilities of what could have gone wrong with this, with your experience?
There are so many possibilities that what could have gone wrong. I don't even want to begin to hypothesize on that. Just let the NTSB do their investigation and take it from there.
Okay, so Ken, you have a long career in public service, former Lyon County Commissioner, and you're still in the Carson Water District, Comstock Historic District Boards, but you're a freshman assemblyman. So what is the Nevada legislature like on the inside from what you thought it would be on the outside?
It's extremely busy. I did expect that, but it's a lot of moving parts, and it's like drinking from water, or from a fire hose. It's great though. I am enjoying it. I'm learning a lot, but with such divisiveness right now, there is a lot of dysfunction, and that's kind of got me a little down, because there's a lot of good stuff out there we could be working on, but you've just got stuff coming from both ends that are, they're polarized, that's polarizing, that won't do any, any good at all. And, one of the ones that comes to mind immediately is, SB 131 from the Democrat side. You know, it's gonna make us an abortion tourism state, and you know, that's not gonna do anybody any good as far as I think Nevadans are concerned.
We before I get to the, and I think the most important thing and the one that people keep asking me about is the voter ID bill. But you brought up a Democrat bill, which is kind of negative in your view. And I noticed there were a couple of really dumb ones pending in the legislature. The one that prohibits a Nevada restaurant from providing drinking water unless specifically requested by a customer. We have to ask for water if we want it. There's another bill, another government overreach bill that would ban fluorescent light bulb sales in Nevada. This was introduced by a Reno assemblywoman, Selena Hatch. Why a ban? Because they contain mercury and create a hazard when broken, which we knew decades ago.
And they're on their way out anyway.
Go ahead.
I mean, the industry is going to solve that problem because they're on their way out anyway. So it's just a, I don't know if it's a feel-good law or what the deal is, but, you know, that's just... I'm scratching my head over that one.
Well, yeah, it's a push to buy LED lights, but they're not giving you a choice. They're deciding for you. And that is why I'm glad you folks meet only once every 2 years in Carson City.
That's what I've always said about the legislature and Congress. You know, you don't want them in session. Every time, you know, that we're in session, I'll throw myself in there now. We're either affecting your wallets or we're affecting your freedoms.
Yep. Now, we have many listeners interested in the progress of the voter ID bill that requires proof of identity to vote, driver's license or ID card with photograph, requires DMV to issue license or ID cards free of charge to those with financial hardship, and requires a voter who votes by mail to write the last four digits of their Social Security and their license number hidden on the envelope. What's the progress on that, Ken?
Well, it was introduced by a friend of mine, good friend of mine, Greg Hafen, down out of Southern Nevada. Right now, it has been assigned to committee, and that's where it sits. And it was assigned to Committee on Legislative Operations and Elections. And what we need to do is get that committee, put the pressure on the committee chair, who is a Democrat, to give that a hearing so the public can hear what's going on and have their say on it, and let the legislature have their say on it. It's a good bill. It addresses their concerns. I mean, as you know, the Democrats, their number one concern is, well, it disenfranchises people that can't get IDs. Well, they're going to give them a free ID. So what, you know, what's the holdup here? It's a good bill that Greg has written and introduced, and I think it should move forward with post-haste.
Well, it certainly takes away the objections beforehand. Like you said, what about the poor that can't afford this ID or driver's license? It's absolutely free to vote with. But when I first heard about this bill with the Democrats in control of Nevada legislature, first thing I thought of was dead in the water. But PK, who was on with us last Saturday, Assemblyman, said that there's a possibility this could go through because it's part of the negotiating thing. You give me this and I'll give you that. So we can be a bit hopeful on that.
Yeah, especially with the Nevada, with the governor, that's a Republican, in Nevada now. And that's really nice to have. And what's amazing about this is this really is a nonpartisan issue based on the recent polling. I mean, 3/4 of Nevadans think you should have, a voter ID. So I don't know why there is such grief and heartache over this one. I mean, they even required, if you remember, they even required IDs for COVID vaccines.
Right. We also have a ballot question approved for voters in the 2024 general election. And this ballot question is going to be, should involuntary servitude as punishment for a crime be removed from the Nevada Constitution? And first thing I thought of was, how will this affect the prisoners who work in work crews? They're talking about this. If this passes, will they get at least minimum wage instead of the token pay that prisoners got for working on fire crews and such? What's your take on that?
Well, I think they were more or less just going after the language because, that language was not just involuntary servitude. It was also, it was also slavery. But yeah. So, those, I have no problem with getting rid of the slavery portion. I too had thought about that especially at the county level, where a lot of counties use, you know, like you said, chain gangs, not really chain gangs anymore, but, you know, that's the old the verbiage for them. Those are for people that have actually been adjudicated as guilty and they're serving their time in the county jail, and they do need to do something. I mean, so I'm really hoping that that can be addressed through an amendment or something where it's, you know, where that is not banned. But we'll see about that going forward. And, you know, if they are required to pay them minimum wage, then, you know, maybe we can start collecting that minimum wage to pay for their room and board.
Folks, once again, Assemblyman Ken Gray, who serves District 39, that's Douglas County and part of Lyon County. And now you have bills yourself that you would like to see passed in the Nevada legislature. Could you, and maybe some folks listening could help you out and help support you on these, Ken. Well, can you tell us about some of them?
Yep. The one I'm really, really passionate about this cycle is Assembly Bill 205. It establishes the Nevada Child Adoption Grant Program. So there's a lot of families in Nevada that would like to adopt children. However, it's cost prohibitive. When my sister-in-law and her husband adopted their oldest child 6 years ago now, it was upwards of $25,000 to cover the costs. You know, in my mind, if we've got kids that need homes and we've got loving families that want to provide them homes, you know, they're paycheck to paycheck families or they're renting, you know, as long as they can pass the background check and show they've got a, you know, a safe environment for them, it shouldn't matter how much money they have. And it shouldn't take that much money to, you know, to pay for the, you know, to pay the fees and for the background and everything else. So this would be funded through private donations. And it would grant the money to the parents for eligible expenses. It's not a free handout. You've got to put the money out and then get reimbursed. But I think it would help out our kids, especially in Nevada, that need loving, caring homes.
It, yes. Yeah, that's a big positive right there. That sounds like obviously you're passionate about that certain issue. And because you said you had a background in emergency medical services, you have Bill 178, which revises provisions governing emergency medical services. Why is this required? Why is this important?
Right now, it falls emergency medical services falls under Health and Human Services, which, you know, on the face, it doesn't look too bad, but it's they're bogged down in bureaucracy. So what we want to do is move it under the Department of, Public Safety. And they're much more responsive to especially certifying things like continuing education, certifications, registrations, ambulance inspections. A lot of people don't know, but this state, we seem to have kind of a problem with ambulance inspections and getting them done in a timely, effective manner and being able to get them out to serve the public. So we're just trying to streamline services. You know, it's not that anybody's doing a bad job, but we just think the job can be done much better. And we can, you know, make sure those services are available to the public and our first responders, you know, when they need to do their recertification courses. So it'll help out. And actually, that's along with Bert Gurr out of Elko. He's a co-sponsor on that one as well.
Wow, you just jumped right into it for a freshman in the legislature. You are in the middle of everything, it sounds like.
And another one I'd like to mention real quick, if I could drive this conversation,
sure.
Had a press conference on this Monday. It is still in BDR form, waiting for legal to get it back. But I'm introducing a bill for qualified immunity. We need, and this, you know, law enforcement, I'll be the first one to tell you, has, you know, they were the drive in my mind, but qualified immunity would apply to all government workers in Nevada that are, you know, state or local. But our law enforcement officers especially should not have to go to work and worry about if they're doing their job within the law and within the policies and practices of their agency, they should not have to worry about getting sued. You know, it's just not a fear they have to put up with. They have to worry about their lives every day and the lives of the public. So this would just let them know that, hey, we've got your back. If you are operating within the confines of your position, we're going to cover you. What it won't do is cover the bad actor. If you've got somebody that is, you know, is acting with malice or outside the law or outside the policies and procedures of their department, it's not going to cover them. They will still be subject to personal liability and all of the forces that the law can bring down on them. So I think this is something very, very important that we need to get past for our men and women out there who serve our public every day.
All right, sir. That and, oh my gosh, Assembly Bill 88. I'd sure like to see that voter ID thing get through there. I really appreciate you informing us, informing the people who depend on you folks in the Nevada legislature to keep them informed on this. And you didn't have to do this, and I really appreciate the call and letting us know about these things. Assemblyman Ken Gray, District 39. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Ken. Take care.
Update you on traffic, the terrible plane crash that happened last night, and we have our first in-person guest coming up in a few minutes.
That's right. So stick around right here. Our number 775-884-9910. It's live and local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, and in Smith and Mason Valley, it is 92.3.
99.1. 92.3 is FM Talk.
There is
John Potter and Jay Biggs. We're taking phone calls at 775-884-9910. I just got a text from because I was talking about how much I love Tractor Supply. I don't know how we got on that topic, but I didn't know this. Somebody told me that texted about how you can wash your pet there. They provide all the supplies.
Where?
At Tractor Supply. It's do-it-yourself pet washing for $9.99. They give you the big little tub. And
are you serious?
And I didn't know they did this. It's genius.
I mean, I've seen the car washes that have like the little dog wash. Have you seen those?
Yes.
Those are pretty cool.
You know, I would have never stopped and do Tractor Supply in the first place until I was driving back when I was single. And the sign in front of Tractor Supply said, "Live chicks available now." I said, "What?
Oh, what? Right." it's like the electric sign that says live nudes.
It's the live chicks. And it makes me smile to walk in and hear the chirping at the Tractor Supply. And something else I love our airport. One of the great things about Reno that most people take for granted. Other airports? Oh my gosh. What's your opinion? I had a terrible time figuring out the parking system in San Francisco. You know, I got in the terminal road, but I swear to goodness, I did that circle three times without finding out or understanding how to get my vehicle into a parking garage. It's that difficult. Or maybe I'm just that stupid. I don't know.
Well, you gotta pull up and take the free ticket.
But our airport is so simple and easy.
People say this. I mean, I will say that, like, when I'm doing Uber... And everybody says, man, your airport is really simple and easy to get in and out of. And it is. I'm interested to see what this new project does because, you know, they've got the lane where you drop people off. It's blocked off. You have to use the lane where you pick people up to drop and pick people up now.
But
so I'm interested to see.
It's easy to understand. Good signage. You know, I missed a flight. I had to go to the Detroit airport and I was on the highway and I was looking for the exit to get to the Detroit airport. And I saw this one exit. It said Ann Arbor Airport. You know, Ann Arbor, first line, second line airport. Like it was all one sentence. And I thought, oh, Ann Arbor has an airport. No, it was Ann Arbor and the Detroit airport. So I totally missed that flight because I'm stupid.
Great. Well... You know, I've been to some airports where even if you get to the airport on time, you might still miss the flight.
Yeah.
Dallas is one of them. There's a tram that goes all the way around the airport.
Yes.
And it takes like a good 30 minutes to get all the way around. So if you miss your one stop, you gotta take the tram all the way around again.
Somebody just told me yesterday, talking about travel, you know, we still have Greyhound.
Oh, yeah.
But Greyhound apparently is known for leaving early. Like, I don't know why. 10 minutes early.
No cares given.
I never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, right before the pandemic, I rode the Greyhound over to Sacramento one time. And I will say that they had made their seats bigger. They'd put more.
Oh, it was one of the new buses.
Yeah, it was one of the new buses. They put more like places where you can plug in your electronics and stuff like that. So it was a little bit more cush.
Cool.
But, man, I'm surprised after all my activities on those back three seats that they just didn't shut down Graham buses altogether.
Well, yeah. All right, I got to remind folks because so far Fox News has not covered this, but our top story is a real tragedy this morning. Your stagecoach in Lyon County, Care Flight, five people aboard, crashed last night at about 9:15. The plane was found at 11:15, according to the Central Lyon County Fire Department. There were no survivors. The five who were killed were the paramedic, a flight nurse, the pilot, the patient, and a patient's family member. Small plane, 2002 Guardian Flight, Pilatus PC-12, single engine, propeller plane, registered to a flight company that REMSA works with in Utah. The weather reports from the scene say there were light winds in stagecoach at the time of the crash, which is now being investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board. Because of the crash, Care Flight has stopped all their flights for now, I guess, checking the planes that they do have. A stagecoach where the plane went down, 40 miles southeast of Reno, Highway 50, near there, and also near houses, which could hear that plane as it was coming down.
Well, I'm taking a look now at the news. There's a little bit of an update. Apparently, National Transportation Safety Board is sending out seven people to investigate, and they're going to be here tonight from several locations all over the country. And also, there's going to be a press briefing on Sunday. No details are announced yet, but the medical flight took off from the Reno Tahoe International Airport heading towards Utah when it crashed. Now we know where the takeoff was. Yes. I wasn't sure if it was coming from like East Nevada or what.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Because traveling over the
down mountain. South and east. Yeah. Well, it's heartbreaking. Somebody who needed help and the people who rushed to give it to them. God rest their souls.
Well, you know, you got to think about it, too. I mean, I don't know if the plane was from here or what, but those nurses or anybody, I mean, those folks could be local. And that's sad news. And
just cuts your heart to hear.
It does. It definitely does. All right. So I believe we need to take a break.
Fox News. Fox News. That's right. John Potter with Jay Biggs.
Yeah, it's Live and Local. Jim Peckham with Fish is going to be in here next with us. It's Live and Local with John and Jay. 99.1 FM Talk. Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk. And in Smith and Mason Valley, it is 92.3. And, John,
if you're going out, I just want to remind folks, snow tires and chains, all the higher elevations, 80.
Yeah.
The other ones. 50.
Well, 50, there's a couple places they've been dropped. This is some good news. I will say this. So the California state line all the way to Truckee, you don't have chains or snow tires there anymore. 267 Truckee to the lake, they've been dropped there. They've been dropped on the Infinity Highway, which is USA Parkway 439, and also on the 95A from Silver Springs to Fernley. But however, if you're traveling out of Smith and Mason Valley going north, 95A does still have those chain and snows all the way to the Silver Springs area on the 50.
Do you ever get, when you report traffic during the week, people asking, and this always comes, can I take 70? Can I avoid if 80 is closed?
Right.
Some people go all the way north to 70 because they heard it's a lower elevation, but they don't really clear it as efficiently as they do 80.
And it's two
lanes.
Some
people go all the way south down to where Hawthorne is, crossing over California.
If you've got the time, you've got the money, you've got the need, you want to be somewhere, I guess. That makes sense. But hey, speaking of need, we've got in the house with us this morning right here our first live and local guest. It is Jim Peckham of Fish, which is Friends in Service Helping. Correct, sir?
Correct. We also use that as an acronym to talk about the services we provide.
And tell us what those are.
And so we provide food, instruction, shelter, and health care to people in need. Typically, we teach med students, we teach nursing students, we teach social workers, and we serve people that are going through crisis. Sometimes it's homelessness, sometimes it's addiction, sometimes it's mental health issues. But one of our big projects right now is we're helping people that are kind of stuck in low-income jobs, and they just never thought they'd have the opportunity to get the education that is needed to start filling some of these higher-paying jobs in the region. And so just like you would expect for most nonprofits that don't rely on the government, and as I'd mentioned to you once before, 99.1% of our budget is not government-funded.
99.1.
But do you wish that you were getting some funds from the government?
You know, it depends.
They would have more of a say on things, probably.
Yeah, one of the benefits that we have, we are multifaceted and we're very versatile. And so we don't have to do things one size fits all. And that flexibility is really helpful. With housing, a lot of the government funds come with what they call, Obama put in place housing first, which means you got to give them a house, and then it's up to them if they want to do anything. And we like to do program first, just like any other dormitory might be in a college. You got to be in class. You got to be doing good. You got to be well-behaved at the dorms and on campus if you want to keep your housing.
You got to have rules.
Yeah.
Now, that's what you're expanding into is housing.
Right.
From you guys, dormitories. Tell us about those.
Yeah, we've always had homeless shelters and transitional shelters for people that are working their way up. And this is for a whole nother level of people. In our pilot program, we found about 80% of the people that qualified with the right academic skills and the work history that convinced us they'd be good employees for one of the region's employers. About 80% of them are single parents and both single dads, single moms. Mm-hmm. And we bought an outdated motel. It was built in 39, and we've bulldozed it. And if you come through Carson City right on the main drag, you'll see three-story buildings going up there. So two three-story apartment buildings. And then the city required us to put in a commercial building because we're on Carson City. So the budget's gotten a little bit expanded from what
you're
we originally
telling me,
intended.
I think back to when Fish was like the food bank was in like this little garage and the thrift shop was like a hovel.
Yeah.
And now it's good news for you, but it's also sad to see that the need is that great that you got to do this out in Carson City. How is Carson City unique in the situation with the working poor and the homeless compared to Reno?
The unique part is Fish. We help people. If they're going to school at TMCC, we'll help them. If they're going to school at WNC, we'll help them. We work very closely with the local government, other nonprofits, to figure out what's missing. And if it falls within our mission, food, instruction, shelter, healthcare, then we find out, we try and find somebody else to do it. And then if we can't, then we do it. And so we just put things in place. And that's we have free medical clinics. We have free dental clinics. We've got a lot of different things to help people out. But this is a whole nother level to try and move people from minimum wage to meaningful careers, careers where they'll have medical benefits, they'll have educational benefits, they'll have, something that builds their family. And again, most of the facilities that we're building are two-bedroom apartments so that the whole family moves in. We'll do training with the non-students to make sure everybody graduates together to take a bite out of generational
really
poverty.
Focusing on education, and I got to say with the huge influx of homeless and working poor is the biggest lesson to families that how important is education.
Yeah. Well, and the state.
I mean, they should tell this to their kids. Look at this, and you don't want to end up this way. It's education is the key not to be in that situation.
And that's the other thing that we found out is that as we get these parents sitting down at the kitchen table doing their homework, because college is not easy, it's hard. And we provide a lot of wraparound services to help them to be successful. But then their kids start doing homework. And the kids, on average, go up two grade levels in, elementary, junior high, high school. And then they start to look at the world differently and start moving on to better paying jobs. And sometimes we put the kids in our program after the parents to help them get into the job market. Because, again, those are two big things in the whole region. There's not enough housing that is affordable to people, and being a nonprofit, we don't have to make money on the housing. We just have to make sure that we cover our bills, and then the other part is giving them the training so that they're acceptable to employers.
Housing with the renovated motel,
that's what it was.
Okay, now
it's been bulldozed, though.
Aren't you by the old Indian school buildings?
We've got
which I thought they're vacant. Couldn't they be refurbished and used? No?
Who owns those? Oh, the government. That's right.
Hey.
So, yes, people. we can use more of those facilities. We have some, but they all have to go through earthquake renovations to make sure that nothing ever happens to them. There's a lot of stuff there that is on the historical register, so you can't really make modifications and make them wheelchair.
Red tape. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
Do you still have the thrift shop?
Oh, we've got three thrift stores. Nothing. Okay. Jim, I mean, we've been around for 44 years.
Where did these come from? My readers.
Oh, good.
Your thrift shop in Carson City.
Yeah,
nice.
We've got a thrift store.
I don't mind saying that. Oh, yeah. I got these from Fish Thrift.
I love going out.
You got a big barrel full of readers.
Yep. Yes, we do.
That's a great deal.
Because people like me, we graduate to the next level of readers. But we, you know, we've got a thrift store in Mount House. We have one in Minden.
Oh, no,
we've got one in Carson City.
Oh, wow.
We've got social services, food banks in Dayton. We've got it in Carson City. We've got it down in Gardenville Ranchos
now,
as well.
That was my first experience with Fish, working here with Evans Broadcast. We were working together down at Carson City Nissan doing the turkey drop. So I saw just right there how you guys were helping out so many people, and that's just the food realm of it. That's not the education. That's not the housing. So, I mean, there's so much you can help. So if someone is out there listening right now that needs a resource, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys or something?
Well, our phone number in Carson is 775-882-FISH. All of our phone numbers end with FISH,
that's
which
nice.
Is 3474. And obviously, we're online with Facebook and the website.
Instagram, all that kind of good stuff.
NVFish.com, and that's NV like Nevada, not like jealousy. So
you can get a whole list of services there, though, like resources as far as like what you guys do. So if someone's like, oh, I wonder if they do this, they could log on there right now,
exactly.
NVFish.com.
I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking you have a heck of a story about how did this become your passion, Jim, with Fish?
Wow. I'm a corporate guy, so I'm used to working in large industry, and I was doing a lot of consulting in and around the region, teaching at one of the universities and doing other things. And one of my friends said, "Hey, you know, you ought to come and apply for Fish because we're going to need an executive director someday." And
he just rolled his eyes, folks.
I didn't think it would happen to him.
So the Fish has been around for 44 years, and quite honestly, it was a mess.
Yeah.
And all I knew about it was the thrift store, and I thought I would never do anything with that nasty thrift store. It smells bad. It looks bad. That doesn't sound like me. And I smiled to the friend and said, "Well, that's something to think about." And as we walked away, I heard this voice. And this voice said, "You need to go apply for Fish." And I immediately looked up to heaven and said, "God, you don't understand what I do." And he said, "You don't understand who I am."
Yeah.
I applied. A year later, I was the executive director. And in the last 13 years, we've been making huge strides and been blessed by the community and everything
you heard,
else to move
you heard
forward.
The voice.
I heard the
of
voice.
Of God. And this Fish has a religious foundation, doesn't it?
It was started by a number of churches, but it's not affiliated with any kind of religion.
So you were not involved in this kind of, I don't want to say business, but we all have our preconceptions. What surprised you most about working with this clientele, the homeless, the working poor? What did you learn and what surprised you?
You know, what I was probably most surprised by is that Fish had really good processes. They weren't very well documented. And the other thing is that we were paying, you know, $14,500 a month in mortgage payments. And I thought, this is crazy.
Okay.
So I immediately started to refinance and figure out how to get everything paid for. So now we own all the properties outright. We don't have any kind of mortgages. But we're probably pushing toward one now to finish off this student housing program. So we're looking for somebody like you that want, you know, all your life you've been looking for your name on a dormitory someplace. Well, by golly, we got the campus for that.
Well, he's already got a place called Potter's House.
Oh, well,
I'm joking. That's not.
They found the right guy for the job with you. And before you go, could you give us a little personal story about one of the folks you helped? And so that you kind of paint a picture of what
got to be rewarding,
a wonderful resource this is.
So, you know, the first person that we brought into this program as our first test case, if you will, had all kinds of problems with drug addiction and jails and things of that sort. And moved into our transitional housing with her kids. And that's where we, again, help people with families to try and grow and develop and be able to do more things. And she was one of those single moms that just worked her tail off in the food industry, you know, working Taco Bells and McDonald's and things of that sort. And we saw in her the academic skills. And so we got her signed up at WNC for manufacturing certificates. And again, we're working with people with HVAC, IT, healthcare, all kinds of things that are needed in the region.
Did all this work for her?
And it worked great. She's got three certifications, works now in the manufacturing world.
Oh, wow.
Both of her kids now, who are graduates of high school, have now taken on more techie kinds of jobs. Their grades went up as a part of it. You know, just that motivated us to figure out how do we do more of it. And that's when we bought the motel and experimented and did pilot testing with more people. And now we're building brand new. And again, not being government funded, we are looking at the community. We got about a little more than $8 million of the $16.5 million that is now in the budget. And I'd rather put money toward services as opposed to interest payments. And right now we've got...
Jeez, I wish we could keep some of that over $29 billion that the government is spending in Ukraine.
Yeah. Have you thought of going into politics, Jim, the way you can budget? Seriously.
All right. Well, people have asked me that before, and I tell them I run from politics, not for politics.
Well, God bless you, Jim Peckham of Fish in Carson City and expanding out from there. Thank you for all the good work you do.
Absolutely. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to be back right here. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, and Smith and Mason Valley. It's 92.3.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now on KKFT.
Hi there. John Potter, Jay Biggs, live and local each and every Saturday morning. Wish we had better news, but that plane crash is first and foremost on everyone's mind. A real tragedy near Stagecoach in Lyon County. The CARE flight with five heroes aboard. I say heroes because these are the people who go when somebody needs help. Flying that small plane in the weather that we had last night, zero visibility probably, and a one-propeller plane, a small plane. We have an update that this plane did take off from the Reno airport, and the crash happened down about on Stagecoach. If you know, it's about 40 miles southeast of Reno,
right,
just off Highway 50.
There's going to be a press briefing tomorrow, too. And this is going to happen from the National Transportation Safety Board. So, and they're sending seven people here today. They're going to be there by tonight to start assessing the wreckage site. So it's very sad, very tragic, and also hearts, you know, just like the legislator said earlier, Ken Gray, it goes out to the folks that may have lost somebody, you know. I mean, like, this is a flight that took off from Reno Tahoe International Airport. So, you know.
A paramedic, flight nurse, pilot, patient, and patient's family member all died in the 2002 Guardian Flight Pilatus PC-12 single-engine propeller plane registered to a flight company that REMSA works with in Utah. The weather reports say the winds were light at the time. National Transportation Safety Board, a crew coming out there. Because of this, CARE Flight has stopped all the flights for now. And it is heartbreaking. It's horrible when rescuers lose their lives while trying to help others. Always grateful for REMSA and CARE Flight, always.
I will say, hold on, I just want to say, man, I've known quite a few folks that work for REMSA over the years. Those guys don't get paid enough. Some of the stuff that and the credit that they, the stuff that they have to deal with and see.
Mm-hmm. It's risky. I mean,
the
weather was bad.
Big shout out to REMSA employees.
Passes were closed, and they had to fly this plane, which doesn't fly above storms. It goes through it. So the small plane just doesn't fly that high, and it was low enough where people who heard the crash, it was that close to homes, like just a mile or two away from homes, if not closer. Anyway, right, well, okay, traffic, the roads.
Yeah, we should take a quick look at these.
Thank goodness it's not a morning rush hour for work today.
Boy, yeah, you're right about that. Silver Springs has a brand new accident at 95 and 50, so that's going to be at the roundabout there, coming down USA Parkway, going in towards Yerington area. Carson City, 431. Actually, this is more Mount Rose Highway at mile marker 15. I'm not sure why that always comes up as Carson. Incline Village, State Route 28, up around the lake at mile marker 4. There's still a motorist assist there. 80 eastbound, mile marker 33. Westbound at mile marker 71. There's incidents over Northern California. Eastbound at Donner Gate. State Route 89 at the 80. Westbound at Blue Lake, 50 at Myers, and multiple other spinouts. But upper elevations, things have gotten a tad bit better just because I guess the snow has kind of tapered off as far as coming down. So we're seeing right now from Reno to Truckee, 80 is open, very slow. Please take it. So that's the big thing, John, is that people just don't slow down. They think just because they have a lifted car or something, they can go 100 miles an hour still. Mm-hmm. But just slow down. Give yourself some extra time. Mount Rose Highway all the way around the lake. 50 still has them from Silver Springs into Carson City and then south of Carson City. So yeah,
after
it's Fox, a messy commute.
After Fox News, we have Jessica Schneider is in the studio from Jughead. Why did you dress up? This is radio.
Where's our music?
Look how good you
usually
look.
Have music on the outs.
All right, Fox News is coming up next. John Potter with Jay Biggs. So come back with us.